Welcome to Voices of Freedom.
Blog Talk Radio.
If God be for us, who can be against us? Do we live like that? You know, I'll be honest with you. You know, there's times when I hurt and people hurt my feelings. There's times when things don't go my way and I maybe react badly. But at the end of the day, I tell you what, I'm comforted by one thing, and that one thing. Excuse me, allergies are killing me right now. The one thing is, I can look at the Bible and I can see places where God went in front of his people and he carries people through. I can see him taking the people out of Egypt. You know, God's right in the front of that. If he wasn't in there, they would have never left out of Egypt, the most powerful country in the world at the time. Take it right over here to our country. Without God at the forefront of our situation here in the Declaration of Independence and those men boldly pledging not only their lives but their dependence on the providential care of the Almighty or the Creator, depending on which paragraph you're reading in the Declaration of Independence. So when God's in the lead, you know, people may not even notice what's going on. But at the end of the day, God's still in control, and he's still moving things forward, and it's still his plan. And, you know, there's just so many cases in the Bible. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to bow down and worship the king's graven image. The king's people tell on them, or, you know, I guess Nebuchadnezzar may have seen them refuse to bow, and he gave them every possible way to bow down because he knew there was something about their God. But at the end of the day, his pride and his arrogance led him to throw those three men into the lion's den, into the fiery furnace. Well, guess what else was in the fiery furnace? There was Jesus. Same thing with Daniel here, not too late, you know, roll over a couple more chapters. Daniel ends up in the lion's den, you see, because leadership changed. I think it was Nebuchadnezzar that put Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in there. And then I think in Daniel's time, maybe it was Darius, maybe. But at the end of the time, the regimes may change. But the fight against Jesus Christ continues. Because most people don't want to hear about it. Let's be honest. We're in a day and time where the family unit struggles, our community struggle. Our schools struggle, and there's just this great big, why is it happening? Well, you go and you say, well, let's talk about Jesus. Oh, we can't talk about Jesus here. Why can't we talk about Jesus in schools right now when they're young and they're impressionable? Why do we wait till we get them in jail, and then we can't wait to get in there and hand them a Gideon Bible? So what's the problem? You see, our society has made a few mistakes along the way. We have gotten into these things where I think it was God that even said it over there in the beginning. He said, nothing shall be restrained from their imagination. So if you can imagine it, you can build it and you can be it. And you know, these flying cars and airplanes are really a good indication. The drone is an excellent indication of what man can do because if you think about it, the drone goes up and it can land at a pre-GPS programmed site. That's pretty awesome. The internet's another thing. But above all of man-made things, above all of the things man has made, there is a God, a creator of the universe. It takes man years to build things. Sometimes the man never gets it built. But with God, all that we know has been spoken into existence in 6 years, or 6 years, 6 days. So what's the deal with that? Well, how does God speak it into existence in 6 days? And he didn't give us the internet in 6 days. He didn't give us, you know, airplanes in 6 days. Everything to build these things, these modern marvels or whatever you want to call them, all of these things, we're in the 6 days creation of Jesus Christ and God Almighty and the Holy Spirit because those are minerals, right? Those are the sand, for example, that makes the glass which makes the fiber optic cable. Can you stop and look at some of that stuff for just a second? See, God knew about coal in the mountains here of West Virginia way before a coal miner did. And this Marcellus Shale. And God knows what else he can do here in our state if we'll let him do it. See, we're just so caught up in all the things that God can't do and all the bad that he's let happen. We're transferring what should be the blame we place on the devil and his crew over on the almighty true God. And you say, well, why don't he stand up for himself? Well, he has. He's got 1,900 pages of information for you to read in the Bible, and if you can't read it and understand it and seek out the understanding of it, you're going to be on your own when you face the judgment of all this. Because if God did speak all these things into existence, like I believe he did, listen, there's going to come a day when you're going to have to accept the fact that you either believed or you didn't believe. The greatest day of your life is the day when you surrender and say, I do believe. I believe the Bible. I don't want any more of that doubting Thomas kind of stuff. I want to believe in you, Lord. I want to know what's next. I want to know your master plan. I want to be part of the plan. See, that's the other part that we sometimes discount with Jesus Christ is the fact that we're in the master plan. That's pretty amazing. We're in the master plan. You say, well, how are we in the master plan? Well, the bride's pretty important, right? Well, if you read about who the church is in the Bible, the church is not your building, by the way. And it's not something that you need to be bound to every day. You don't have to necessarily be at the church house every time the doors open. I'll go as far as to say that if that's the only time that you spend with Jesus, you might as well stay home anyway. And there it is. But let me tell you what the church is to Jesus Christ. Jesus went away to prepare a place. Well, guess what? So did the groom in Jewish times. The groom would go away and he would be gone for an extended period of time preparing a place for his bride. The church is the bride. What's the point of the church being the bride? Okay? The church is the bride. That means when the groom gets the heavenly heaven mansion prepared for you, he's coming back to get you as his bride. Now, men, don't be getting all goofy on me, and people, don't be thinking all perverted stuff on me. But he's coming back, and he's going to take his bride out of here. Now, let me tell you somewhere else where you can get a good idea of just how powerful that you are today. You know, this is good, okay? Now, I want you to understand that we're all members of the body of Christ. A guy told me one time, he said, you're hurting the cause of Christ. And I tell you what, it really went through me. Because there's nothing worse than somebody that don't know what they're talking about. You see what I'm saying on something like that? But then over the years, I've kind of thought, you know what? I can see from his point of view in a way I never saw before. But here is the thing. For Jesus Christ, we have got to stand up. Because if we're members of the body of Christ, that means in this whole body that Jesus has, somebody is the eyes for Jesus on this earth right now. Somebody is the ear. Somebody, and those are big things. But break down the eye about the nerves that are in the eye and the blood vessels that are in the eye and the, what is it, the cornea and the retina and the pupil and the collar and the, you know, and then get into the heart and the different arteries and the veins and the, you know, I mean, I can't even name all this different body parts and different things, but everybody has a role. And you know, you think sometimes my role's not big enough, or I'm not being used the way I should, or why doesn't God bless me, or what's going on here and all this, you know. Well, the thing about what God's doing and not doing deals with the fact that he's blessing as much as he can bless, considering that we're going at this thing about a third of the speed. You see what I mean? Maybe less. We're not putting much effort into our reach to the lost world. Listen, I mean, you can like this program or dislike it, but I got to believe that there's going to get more mileage in heaven when God sees me. He's not going to say, man, you were a great Sunday school teacher. You were a great preacher. You were great visiting churches and hospitals and nursing homes and this and that and business and whatever. He's going to say, you know what? Every morning you tried to get that radio program, that blog up, and you sent out a message. And all of your friends, and I don't know how, if their friends see it, I don't know exactly how it goes, but, you know, 2,500 people, 2,700 people every single day pass by that post. 2,700 people every single day had an opportunity to share that post. So when you share this post by listening, you're basically not only taking ownership that you believe in Jesus Christ, but you're saying that you heard something on here that somebody else needs to hear. And at the end of the day, of all the things, it's not about Brooke, you know. God will take care of my reward on this thing. Because, listen, if God is for me, you're not going to be against me. You know what I'm saying? If God is for me, you know, you just do it the way you want to do it, okay? Now, I don't know how you know, I don't know how else you say it to that, you know, because I'm not under people's control. Well, yeah, I'm a member of the body of Christ, so I got to function with people, you know. Yeah, we've got to. But what I'm focused on is Jesus Christ, and he is way out there beyond people, you know. Now, he tells me to be friendly. He tells me to witness. He tells me to go to my community and go all over the world. I mean, he tells me all the cool things I need to be doing. You see, there's some great things that Jesus Christ has prepared for them that love him. But there's a hell to be had here if you're not paying attention. And if you think you're going to slide in, or if you think you're as good as somebody else, because at the end of the day, you're no better than anybody, because none of us are any good. It says there's none good. Think about that in Romans. It's either verse 10 or verse 23 in Romans chapter 3. How about that? There's none good, no, not one. And then another verse says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, how about that for a second? All have sinned. You know, slice it any way you need to slice it. But at the end of the day, you're not getting anywhere because you're a good person. You're not getting anywhere because you're the president of the Rotary Club. You're not getting anywhere because you're in the Chamber of Commerce. You're not getting anywhere because of anything you have done. The only way you get to heaven is because Jesus Christ died for you. And his shed blood is giving you the ability to ask for forgiveness of your sins. And when you ask for forgiveness of your sins, Jesus comes on the scene. When Jesus comes on the scene, guess what he's going to do for you? He's going to forgive you those sins because that's part of his agreement with mankind. Oh, we're created in his likeness and his image. He's going to take care of me. He's not going to take care of you if you don't recognize what he did on Calvary. If you don't recognize what Jesus has done on the cross, it's not gonna matter to you, because your eternity is gonna be lost. You see? Now, what are we gonna do about it? We're gonna sit still, we're gonna sit around and cry about I didn't get this and I didn't get that, and my life didn't work out the way I wanted. It's not God's plan either. Because if God is in your life and he's out front, he's the best thing that's ever happened to you. And really what's awesome is when you start to realize it. You know, you might not realize it all right off the bat. I think the minute you get saved, you have an immediate release of, wow, I'm saved. I know hell's behind me now. But when you start reading this Bible and you start studying and you start realizing, and you look around at the chaos that's in the world, and all of a sudden you start to say, wow, you know something? This world is a messed up place. This world has gotten to that point already where people said they're going to call good bad and they're going to call the bad good. Hey, listen where we're at right now. How about an incredible situation like that? All the things that we used to say, oh, that'll never happen, they happen all the time now. all the things that we just never dreamed as kids, talking back to our parents. Man, now you see kids running the household just like it said. Talks in there about enduring sound doctrine. You see, enduring sound doctrine. What does that mean? That means that you just don't want to hear it. You don't want to hear the good news. What's the good news? The good news is there's a hell out there. How's that good news? Well, there's a heaven too. You see, how's it good news? How's it bad news? How's it this? You know, there's where we're at in all this. My plan for you is a real simple plan. Man, oh man. The plan is to get you in touch with Jesus Christ, the creator of the universe, and have you stop and pray to him right now. So, well, what would my prayer sound like? Well, my prayer sounded like this. I don't know what yours will sound like. Mine was, I can't go on like his, because I'm afraid you're going to kill me. It's come down to that point where I've pushed you as far as I can push you, Lord, and I've put you off as long as I can put you off, and I'm afraid that you're going to kill me. So I'm going to surrender now like I should have done 20 years ago. And I'm going to make you Lord and master of my life. Now, I probably didn't say Lord and master of my life at the time, but it was real close language to that because I'd come to a point where I couldn't do it on my own anymore. I had festered up so much and I had so much aggravation in my life, and there was so much pain and aggravation and sorrow that people that even liked me didn't want to see me come. See where we're going with that? And at the end of the day, you got to live with all that, you know, or you got to lay it down. Well, see, I laid it down, and I think that's why sometimes people, a lot of people, it's real easy for them to get saved. Sort of seems like the meaner or the worse you were, it's easier for you to say, wow, I'm glad to lay this burden down. Whereas it's not so easy on some of this other stuff. So there's a lot to be thought about here. There's a lot of different things that God puts out there for us, and he's got a plan for your life. And it's not your plan, by the way. I mean, I hate to tell you this, but it's not going to be your plan. Is it, you know, is it better? Yes, it's better. Does it always seem better? No. You know, I'll be honest. But when you start to see why and how God works and why his plan's better than your plan, any plan Brooke Lunsford makes is a temporary plan. Any plan God makes is an eternal plan. Well, number one, that doesn't matter what happens after that. The eternal plan is better than a short-term plan. Jesus even told us there in a place, this is probably a good one, good parable or a good, it wasn't a parable, it was listed there in the Bible, but good place probably to end today. There was a rich young ruler that came to Jesus. So let's set this guy up. He's a rich young ruler. So he's rich. He's young. So a lot of times when we're young, we don't have the experience that we need. You see what I'm saying? To make the grown-up decisions. So he's young. He's rich. He's probably good-looking. He's probably got everything that anybody could imagine. And he thinks as he approaches Jesus that he's even been a pretty good Jewish boy, okay? So he approaches Jesus, and I'm almost certain from the way I read this that he thought Jesus was going to say, wow, you are exactly what I'm looking for. You're the one that has not sinned on this earth. Well, that'd have been wrong because Jesus is the one that we were looking for that had not sinned. But anyway, so this man, I believe, was looking for praise from Jesus. I believe he thought Jesus was going to just wrap his arms around him and say, wow, this guy is a powerhouse for me. This guy can do all kinds of amazing things. But listen up here for a second. Here's what Jesus says to him. He says, have you kept all the commandments? Yes, sir. Well, no, you can't. You know, he couldn't keep his, like, 613 laws, I think, in the Jewish, you know. But he says, I've kept them since birth. So, you know, he's tried, he's observed, he's known. Everything he's known to do, he's tried to do, I guess is probably what he's trying to say. So Jesus says, that is great. let's do this. Go sell all that you have, give it to the poor, and come and follow me. Think on that for a second. Listen, there is no greater power in this world than serving and following Jesus Christ. And Jesus is never going to ask you to give up more than he's going to give you. That's the way I believe. You say, why? How do you know that? Well, I said earlier, Brooke Lunsford had a plan for his life. I planned my life out on about 70 years. I'm 50, so guess what? 70, I'm about, 70% down on my life now. 70% of my years have passed me by. So it'd be a good time to look for another plan, wouldn't it? No matter what. But 20 years ago, there was another plan, and the plan was Jesus. So I made that. I accepted the things of Jesus to put me in the path I needed to go, and that's made all the difference in my life. Now, the rich young ruler, he couldn't even begin to understand not having his wealth to back him up. There's so many people in this world that their job is them. You know, they're living their job. They're living, what would you call it? They're living their childhood again through their kids. They've got a little bit of power at work, and they just rub it in everybody's face. You know, all these things, you know, they're going to pass. But it says that the rich young ruler went away sorrowful because he had many possessions. He just couldn't see beyond the things that he had right now. See, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. See, our faith will grow over time, and there's about 6 or 7 different ways faith is expressed in the Bible. But the number one way to express faith right off the bat is to have enough faith to get saved. How about that for just a little while? Do you have enough faith to get saved today? Well, what does that mean? Do you believe that Jesus had a death, a burial, and a resurrection for you? Do you believe that it's his shed blood that can forgive you of your sins? That's why Jesus had to bleed and die for us. Because as we read through the Old Testament and into the New Testament, back in the day, there was no remission of sins, which is the forgiveness. There's no forgiveness of sins without the shedding of blood. You see? There's no remission of sin without the shedding of blood. And that's just the way it is. I mean, it's not my plan. That was God's plan. So when Jesus did all that he did, I don't have to prove Jesus was alive. I don't have to prove the Bible. But if I believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, and I believe on his name, I can be saved. I shall be saved. That whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. John chapter 1, verse 12, I believe it is, says, unto them who believed, gave he the power to become the sons of God. This is not Little League, folks. To believe in Jesus Christ does not put you in an inferior position. To believe in Jesus Christ puts you over the top. To believe in Jesus puts you at the front of everything, folks. What does that mean? That means when Jesus comes back to take his people out of here, you're gone. It means when it comes time to live forever or suffer forever, you're living forever. That means when it comes down to the end of this time, and everybody else is worried to death about what's going on, you'll be concerned. We all are. Life is, God's put something in us to want to get our last breath down here. But there's coming a day, and that day is soon, when Jesus Christ will come down, and he'll take us out of here. And that's just the way it's going to be. You either going or you're staying. Don't be the rich young ruler. Well, what about poor people? Are they, you know, why do poor people get saved and rich people don't? Is it just a crutch for the poor? No. But the poor person is not, they're not caught up in their job, right? They're not caught up in their social club. They're not caught up in trying to be something that they're not. They're not caught up in the things of this world. Well, it's hard to get people out of this world because there's some pretty cool stuff in this world. But I believe you'll find out that a lot of the things you still like to do, if you like a certain ball team, hey, Jesus doesn't care about you liking that ball team as long as Jesus is first. Jesus doesn't care about you loving your kid and your kid's sports as long as Jesus is first. Now, a lot of people make the mistake of saying, well, Jesus, my kids are before Jesus, and he'll just have to understand. No, he won't have to understand because God put his son before all the sons and daughters of the world. So you better grow up and wake up and pay attention to what's going on. The best thing you can do for your kids is to get them in church. And it kills my soul to watch people go year after year. Man, they go and they go and they go and they just, you know, and I'm so glad that they have the ability to go and that they enjoy their trips. I like to go too. But at the end of the day, please don't forget, Jesus Christ needs to be in these kids' lives. There's so many different things, that Jesus Christ has planned out for your life. The only thing I wish I could change about Jesus was that I would have gotten saved when I was about 10 years old. I can look at things in my life that would have automatically been eliminated that would have been, that just would have saved me a bunch of aggravation. I'll be just as honest as I know how to be. I could have saved some tremendous aggravation. Hey, I hope you get something out of the lesson. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope to be on here with you tomorrow. Have a great day. We'll talk to you soon.